You're with SBS Radio.
When these rates fall, particularly for our Indigenous population, it is always welcome news. And I think it does reflect, hopefully, an ongoing trend that we will see in years to come as we continue to put out these reports.
And this is over a period of 5 years.
With this data, we do publish reports on the youth justice system every year, and we do tend to look at trends across a five-year period. That can often be a little bit more meaningful, particularly when we're looking at small population and small numbers.
Yeah.
So for the rate of Indigenous youth supervision, it's fallen from 176 per 10,000 down to 172. And I think that's obviously welcome news, and we would love to see that trend continue through our next lot of reporting.
According to reports and the information we have, Indigenous young people make up only 6% of the population, and yet their representation in this youth supervision system is much, much higher than that 6%.
Yeah, that's right. So you're absolutely right. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander young people do make up around 6% of the population of Australians aged between 10 and 17. And they do make up half of those under supervision on an average day, or did through 2018-19, which is the period that this report covers. I suppose when you're dealing with small population numbers, when those numbers fluctuate, it can make quite a big difference to some of these rates. But I think also it's a reflection also that jurisdictions are offering alternatives to the youth justice supervision system. And there's been policy developments in areas such as child protection, accommodation and housing, family and community services, and those could also contribute to a fall in the rate of Indigenous supervision. So the states and territories are all committed to reducing Indigenous youth that are under supervision, and most states have Indigenous specific and culturally appropriate programs and policies in place to help young Indigenous Australians stay out of that youth justice supervision system.
Well, in the justice system, young boys behave differently from young girls to find them in one, in order to find themselves in this situation. What are the differences between the gender differences in this system?
Yeah, look, that's a really interesting question. And I think for me to be able to provide you with an answer, I probably need to go ahead and undertake a PhD of my own.
Yeah.
But certainly we do see that males are overrepresented within the justice system. And that carries through not just for young Indigenous males, for males in general in the youth system, as well as males carrying through into the adult correction system. So I think that's really something that that many people who are certainly more qualified than me have studied and haven't necessarily come up with an answer yet, which is really interesting.
Now, you're minimizing your effort in there. You've produced a report that's very, very informative and very, very well documented. So.
Oh, look, and that's wonderful to hear. And our organisation really does try and put out as many of these reports as we possibly can to try and contribute to that evidence base. And while we're doing that, and it's wonderful to hear people such as yourself picking up this report and really sort of digesting it and taking an interest in its content, because we feel like we have a contribution to make and an important contribution to make to the conversation, not just around this youth justice supervision, but certainly on a whole host of social welfare and health issues. And that's really what we try and do at the Institute of Health and Welfare, and we're really proud of the work that we do. So it's great that you're picking it up and you know, using it and enjoying our reporting. So that's really fantastic.
No, that's good news, because everything is coronavirus and gloom and doom.
It's kind of hard to get away from that. And I should really say that we managed to put out this report while a lot of the crew at work are working at home and working remotely. So, it's really... It's been interesting times for us over the last couple of months to try and pull all this together and get it out there on time for you to have a look at.
Yeah, this is one thing I saw before I went even into this interview, was that the Health and Welfare Institute is working in a sudden, very difficult situation dealing with emergency and urgent reports. So
yeah,
this is a welcome news. But before I let you go, one more question is just to clarify that youth in the supervision system are not under detention.
No, and that's one of the things that we do sort of try and make quite clear in that report, is that actually most people who are under youth justice supervision are not in detention. It certainly doesn't mean that they are in detention facilities. Around 80% or more of the young people who are involved in youth justice supervision are actually supervised within the community. So they're not in detention centres. They could be under bail or supervised release, those kinds of programs, to keep them out of a detention setting. So you're absolutely right. Most of the young people under supervision are supervised within the community, which is certainly better for them and better to keep them within their communities than to see them in a detention setting.
Yeah, so and some of them would be actually assigned community work or things like that.
That's right, yeah. And it is better for young people to stay within their communities, particularly for young Indigenous people. But generally, it's better to have them connected to family, connected to kin, connected to country, if that's their preference, and, you know, to keep them connected with their support systems.
Yeah.
You know, outside of a detention setting.
Yeah, one question that was not, it's just completely out of context, maybe. It's the continued call for actually to release people in detention, because the detention centres and prisons and all that are what some call petri dishes for COVID-19. What's your view on this for youth being going into supervision? Is there a specific call to address this at the Institute of Health and Welfare?
Yeah, look, that's a really interesting question, and I will preface that by saying that what we do at the AIHW with this report in particular, the scope of data for this report falls outside of this whole COVID pandemic, so we don't actually touch on that in our report. I would suggest that all states and territory have some kind of health pandemic processes and procedures in place already within a detention setting, but as for what we can say about that, unfortunately, there's really not much that I can say on those.
No, I fully understand. You work on the long term, and this has been in the works for 5 years.
Yeah, I think it will be with us for a long time, though. Yeah, we can probably safely say that.
In the next 2 or 3, 4 years' time, that's when we get the accurate figures and
quite possibly,
more relevant reports. Now, before I let you go into lockdown mode again, I've asked most of my questions. Is there anything I haven't touched on that you would like to maybe raise?
I appreciate the thoughtfulness of your questions. What I would say is that the Institute of Health and Welfare really prides itself on being that evidence base for the community and for policymakers across Australia. And these kinds of reports that touch on issues like youth justice, we put out fairly regularly. So if people are interested in these kinds of health and welfare issues, then visit our website. Get onto our mailing list, and we do report quite often on these pertinent health and welfare issues.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.